Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, February 1st, 2014. This is episode 1053. A little program note, we had technical difficulties during the first hour of the show, so this will be a somewhat shortened podcast, just the second and the third hour. The first hour of the show, there really wasn't a first hour. It was a rerun, so you've already heard it. Why repeat it, right? Thanks for listening, and enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com. Go all the way up to the top of the page. Click on the microphone up there and enter the offer code TechGuy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, hour two of the Tech Guy show. First show of February, the shortest month. 8888 Ask Leo is the number. Heather Hammond, the phone ranger, is in position. And we are ready, back live at 8888 Ask Leo. I got my wooden phone. I'm so excited. Did you see this, Heather? It's wooden. It's made out of walnut. I don't have Heather's mic. Can you turn on Heather? We don't have access to it. That's all right if we don't have access to it. Just make smoke signals. Just wave at me. So I was all excited because I ordered this. I think it was on Monday that Motorola had a deal, $100 off the unlocked version of the Moto X, which is the phone I really like. And they finally had the wooden backs. So I got a 32 gig version with a wood. I mean, I'm not kidding. It's not a veneer. It's an actual, it's like walnut. They have bamboo, walnut, ebony, ivory, living in perfect harmony. They have all different. Now I can hear you.
Oh, really? Oh,
good timing. Can. Good timing.
Ta-da.
So I was all excited. I $350 for an unlocked, unsubsidized 32 gig phone. That's a good price.
In 2014? Are you kidding me?
I should have smelled a rat. I smell one now. It's oh, that's me. Your cologne. I'm sorry. No, I should have. It's actually your jacket. I should have. Is that a fur collar? Because that's a pretty unusual. That's like a lower price than Google sells its own Nexus 5 for. Unlocked. I thought, wow, that's a really good price for a 32 gig. And it's the only phone I know of that actually, smartphone I know of that has a wooden back. It's a little retro. What do you think? Lisa said, my girlfriend said, only a guy would want a phone with a wood back. That women would have too much fashion sense. You're great. She's nodding. Heather's nodding.
That's correct.
Yeah. Women would have too much. This is more like a paneled den.
Yeah. Exactly. Ours would be diamond or platinum.
Yeah. More bling. You want more bling? It's not even like a like one of those heavily varnished burl backs. It's wood. You can hear it. But so then, like 2 days later, Google says, "Oh, by the way, we just sold Motorola." It's like what? What? I'm not happy about that. The company that bought the Motorola phone division. So Google. Okay. So history in 2011, Google bought Motorola Mobility for a little more than $12 billion. $12 billion. And they immediately sold part of it off, the set top box. You know, a lot of times when you get your cable box, those are made by Motorola. Sold that part off for a few billion, recouped that. They got the patents. Those were worth billions. They're both defensively and offensively. The reason the patents are so important is because for Google to continue to get people to use Android, there has to be a little bit of protection. For if a company like Lenovo or Samsung or LG or HTC is going to make an Android phone, they need to have a little bit of reassurance from the mothership, from Google, which makes the Android operating system, that they're going to protect them in the patent wars because it's nasty out there. The other interesting bit of news is Google somehow persuaded, we don't know how, now we know how, persuaded Samsung to stop putting so much junk on their phone. And if they do put junk on their phone, to make it removable by the user. When you buy a Samsung Galaxy Note, I love the Note. That would probably be my go-to phone because it's, I like a big 5.7-inch screen. It's beautiful. The hardware's spectacular. Great camera, much better than the Moto X. But it's got so much junk on it. It's got a golf swing mode for the camera. I don't play golf. I don't need a golf swing mode. And you know what? Even if you play golf, how many times do you want to take a picture of your swing? And all of that stuff takes up a lot of space, and you can't remove it. It's just, you're stuck with it. So Google made a deal with Samsung to get rid of that. And I should have seen that. Oh, there must have been some leverage there, right? And then Samsung and Google say, we're not going to sue each other for 10 years. We're good. We're good, man. Should have seen there was a little leverage there, because obviously what happened is Google said, you know, Samsung, we're sorry we got into the phone business. We understand you don't want to compete with the makers of your operating system for phone sales. Because people, you know, are going to say, well, it's a Google phone. It must be better. I'll buy it from Google. Or at least that's the fear of Samsung, HTC, and LG. So Google, I think quite wisely, decided, you know, this, we don't want to be in the hardware making the phones. We'll let other people make the phones. Lenovo's a Chinese company. They have a track record. In 2005, they bought the ThinkPad division from IBM. Greatest laptops made, really were. And to Lenovo's credit, they kind of preserved the quality. They preserved the name. For a long time, they continued to sell ThinkPads, and they were just as good as when IBM made them. And I thought that was a good sign. And I'm sure that Google thought that was a good sign. I'm a little nervous about Lenovo because they've been spending like crazy. They just bought another. They've spent $5.2 billion in the last week. They bought IBM's server business for $2.3 billion, as well as $2.9 billion. For Motorola Mobility. They didn't get a lot of the patents. I think a lot of people mistakenly said Google lost a ton of money because they looked at the $12 billion sale buying price and the $3 billion sale price. Wow, Google. No, I think Google didn't lose money on this because they sold off Motorola Mobility. They keep most of the patents. They're licensing them out. I think this is actually about a break even for Google. In fact, you might even say Google had kind of planned this all along. But it makes me sad because, you know, because of Google, the Droids I wasn't crazy about. Motorola was just like the rest of them. They're junking up the Android phones. The Moto X was like perfect. Perfect. Only thing wrong with it, needed a better camera. And every other, and maybe the screen wasn't as quite as big as I would have liked, but or as high resolution. But in every other respect, a really nice phone. Very easy. And nice enough that I just bought a second one. And then Google sells it. Oh, why I oughta. Don't know if there's cause for concern. First of all, it ain't real yet. Both U.S. and Chinese regulators have to approve this. Might be a little concerned about Lenovo. Lenovo is partly owned by the Chinese government. But, you know, with what we've learned about the NSA now and our government spying on everybody else, it's like, well, you know, you have a smartphone, somebody's spying on you. It could be the Chinese, could be us, could be both. Yeah, you figure it's not nothing you do on a smartphone is very private. So that's a big story. We're waiting for the other big story of the week, which is a new CEO at Microsoft. It looks like Microsoft will go inside to the most boring candidate they could possibly find, a guy named Satya Nadella, who has worked at Microsoft for 22 years. That tells you right there, boring, right? Not an outsider. He's a safe choice. He works as part of their cloud, or is actually executive vice president of their cloud and enterprise group. This is very important to Microsoft. Stock market will do what they always do with Microsoft. Flatline. Just the stock doesn't go up, doesn't go down, just It's exactly the right choice if that's what you want to do. It's essentially Microsoft's board saying business as usual. We're not going to make any big changes. We're not going to reorg again. This is how it's going to be. Now, we don't know it's for sure, but both the New York Times and Business Week are saying that Satya Nadella's got it. Apparently, this weekend, the Microsoft board will meet to vote. They say anytime but during the Super Bowl. They literally said that. We're going to meet this weekend, but not from 3:30 Pacific on Sunday because we got a game to watch. I like their priorities. Yeah, we'll pick a new CEO, but not during the big game. Because, well, Seattle Seahawks are in the game, right?
Right.
You don't want to mess around with that. So I think Satya Nadella he's a nice guy. Everybody likes him. He's a smart guy. He is not exciting like Alan Mulally of Ford would have been. He's not intriguing. You know, the guy running the CEO search for Microsoft was a board member, John Thompson, worked at IBM. Great, really great guy, smart guy, African-American. That would have been an interesting move. But they didn't go with him. So it looks like it's going to be same old at Microsoft. All right, 8888-ASK-LEO. We go to the phones next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. Heather Hammon, the phone ranger. I think we can go to the phones, Ms. Hammon. Who do you like?
We sure can. Jeffrey in Baton Rouge, L.A., or Louisiana.
L.A. is Louisiana. You know, it's funny because you see people wearing NOLA shirts, right? N-O, New Orleans, L.A. Mm-hmm. And I always, because we're from San Francisco and we don't like the Dodgers, think it's an anti-Dodgers shirt. It's not.
Right.
That's exactly hi, Jeffrey. Leo Laporte, the tech guy from Baton Rouge.
Hey, Leo.
Hey.
Yes, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I had the pleasure somewhat of ordering a Moto X on the sale this past week.
So you, like me, got that special deal.
And then the
other shoe dropped. Oh, yes. They're selling it. That's why they gave us a deal.
Mere hours after my order was completed. What I wanted to impart was that they apparently were so swamped that they were unable to take a Discover card for almost 2 days.
Wow.
Very long story short, 2 days and three or more hours on the phone with them, I inadvertently did some a little social engineering and had asked for Dennis Woodside's phone number.
CEO of Motorola. Smart move.
Right. So,
and did they give it to you?
Yes.
Awesome.
So I called thinking I was going to get through the secretary, and in actuality, he answered his cell phone, "Hello, this is Dennis," and then I freaked out.
Okay, somebody screwed up. The call center gave you the cell phone number of the CEO. You called it, and he answered.
Yep.
So what'd you say?
I explained the issue I was having. I said, I want to be a Motorola customer, and
boy, that's great.
I'm having a great deal of difficulty. And, I feel really bad because that was like the night before he was...
He was kind of busy.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
You know that, though, this is a number of companies I've heard of doing this, and I think it's a really good move, occasionally have the CEO, the boards of directors, the executive team answer the phones and talk to real customers. Now, I think this was an accident, but maybe not. But I think it's a very good discipline. Dennis, by the way, is probably going to continue to run Motorola. Lenovo says they're going to give them a lot of autonomy. I don't think they want to make a lot of changes, although the rumors were, and we don't know for sure, that Google lost a lot of money on Motorola over the last 19 months that it was selling these phones. It's a shame because I think the Motorola X is probably the best smartphone out there. Did he kind of resolve the issue for you?
So he got me in touch with one of his executive customer service members.
He
handed me off.
But that's what happens. So every company has an office of the CEO where they have people who are, total intention is to handle problems like this get to the CEO.
Done so very well, I must say. They've made amends.
I'm impressed. I think it's I'm hoping Lenovo does not trash this company. This is the only smartphone assembled in the United States. They built a factory. They took over the old Fort Worth Plantronics factory, and they build these down there. I mean, it's Chinese parts, as every phone is, but it's still at least some American employees are getting jobs. I hope that Motorola maintains its heart and soul, because I think it's a great phone. Wow, that's amazing. I wonder if the guy who gave out the cell number got in trouble.
I hope not. So just as a quick follow-up, part of the reason I got the phone was because at the time, mere hours before it got sold, was a Google company.
Right.
And I was thinking I was going to get all sorts of great software updates, such as the Nexus line.
I think you will. So, first of all, I kind of alluded to this. Chinese and U.S. regulators have to approve it. That will take maybe months, maybe a year. It will take a while. And nothing's going to change until then. I still believe that, given Lenovo's track record with IBM ThinkPad, that they will try to do the same thing. I think what this is Google saying we shouldn't compete against our biggest allies, Samsung. When the Moto X first came out, it didn't have the latest version of the operating system. The Nexus 5 did. Google built a firewall, sometimes they call them a Chinese wall, between Motorola and the engineers at Google. I don't think that's going to change. I don't think it's going to get worse. I think you will continue to see updates on this. It isn't a Nexus phone, but you know, Google's killing the Nexus as well, according to rumors. And that all goes with this. That's part and parcel of this. Google's says, we'll sell Google Edition phones from our partners, but we will no longer offer a phone over the Google brand. They're basically saying no more Google brands.
That makes me sad.
It makes me sad, too, because the partners have done such a terrible job with Android, gunking it up with things like, you know, the golf swing camera. The Samsung software is atrocious. There's too much of it. It's what put HP out of the PC business, or nearly put HP out of the PC business, is junking the thing up. But I think that Google made a deal, is what I think, behind the scenes, and said to Samsung and others, look, we agree not to compete with you directly with our own handsets, but you guys better at least offer Google Edition handsets. And I think that's what you're going to see, as you did with the two hottest phones now out there, the Galaxy S4 and the HTC One. Google did sell them with pure Google on them, no extra stuff from the Google store. That's going to continue. That's the rumor, is no more Nexus, but Google Experience will continue. And the HTC One did get the latest KitKat very quickly. The Google Experience was updated very quickly. So I think you can count on that. Google is not, they say, getting out of the hardware business. They just bought the Nest thermostat company. They make Google Glass. They're all in on that. They're very clear. We're not getting out of hardware. We just don't think that we should be spending any energy on mobile phones. Somebody, I read an article saying, you know, Google blew this, that they need to keep these sales up. And, you know, the truth is Google doesn't care as who you buy an Android phone from. They don't care. What they do care about is that you buy an Android phone. Because every Android handset, if it has the Google software on it, is money in Google's pocket, because that's where they make their money. Not on the sale of the phone. Android is free. Nobody pays to use Android. Where Google makes the money is the data that they get. Google Maps, you know, Google Voice, Google Plus, all of the Google stuff that you use on these phones. That's so Google just wants to get more hands on Android, and I think this is the way to do it. Jeffrey, don't worry. I think you still got the right. Are you going to get your Moto X?
Yep.
I think you still got the right phone. Did you get wood?
I did not get wood. I got a developer edition, so okay. I have an unlocked bootloader. So
obviously you care about this stuff, yeah. I think you're going to see all of that still. I think Google understands that there's the enthusiast community, people like you and me, who want pure Google. We want unlocked bootloaders. We want to be able to root this stuff. We want to be able to put our own firmware on there, and they're going to continue to support that. But they also do not want to tee off Samsung and the other manufacturers. They need these guys to continue to sell Android phones, because that's where Google makes money. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Johnny Jett is here. Johnny is the travel guru who helps us use our technology to save money and travel better. We talked last week about the fact you talked to us from the airport lounge in Toronto. The airline... was it American Airlines?
It was American.
Had said, how long did they say the delay was?
Well, they kept emailing me every half hour saying it's going to be delayed 30 minutes or 40 minutes.
Just a little bit.
Creep it.
But then you have a service which I love called TripIt Pro.
It's $49.
A year.
Correct.
And well worth it. One of the things TripIt does is if you wish, you can let it get your email, check through your Gmail for travel confirmations, and then... So I have everything sent to my Gmail, and then you can forward mail to plans@tripit.com.
That's what I do.
Yeah, and it will I let it go through my mail because I don't care. I've got no privacy. And then it will automatically build an itinerary for you, which is awesome.
Correct.
And because they know what flight you're on, they will let you know. So TripIt was saying how long?
They said it was a 2-hour delay.
Even though Americans said no, half an hour.
Yep.
So who wins?
It was TripIt. Actually, it was actually a little bit longer, but TripIt was the closest by far.
Wow. So when the airlines are holding out on you, they tell TripIt the truth.
But I learned something. Actually, this week I was in Minnesota.
Yeah? Why?
Because I was getting an award.
Oh, by the way, congratulations. He is the Travel Writer of the Year, ladies and gentlemen.
And
I'm so proud of you. You buried the lead, Johnny. I buried the lead. I should have said now, ladies and gentlemen. What is the name of the organization?
Trav Media, T-R-A-V Media. It's an industry thing, and it's Travel Journalist of the Year.
Journalist of the Year from Trav Media, ladies and gentlemen. From now on, can we arrange that so when Johnny comes in here, we say, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Jett, the Travel Media Journalist of the Year, Johnny Jett? I love yes. that. I love
it was that. Nice and cold in Minnesota, by the way. Yeah. It was negative 16 Fahrenheit.
So you'd think these travel media folks would know you don't have an event in January in Minnesota.
When they told me I was going to Minnesota, I said, there's no way. I said, why am I going? They said, you're getting an award. I said, okay, I'll go.
I'll be there. This is a prestigious award, Johnny.
It was very kind.
I'm so proud of you.
Enough about me. Let's talk about some technology. But anyway, with that, so the next when I was leaving Minnesota, I got an email early that morning saying my flight was going to be delayed an hour because there was 3 to 6 inches of snow. Anyway, I get to the airport and I look at the monitor and it says it's on time.
Oh.
So the airline actually can change it back, and that happens sometimes. They swap the aircraft. They got a new aircraft. But so the flight was supposed to take off at 5:30. I got an email saying that morning, and everyone else did too, by Delta and TripIt, that it was leaving at 6:20. And then I get to the airport. And it says 5:30. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm here. It's like, 4:45 I show up.
Wow.
And
I hate that. On one hand, I think it's great that they make it more on time. If you think you're going to be – the plane is delayed 3 hours and you take your time getting to the airport and they suddenly make it on time, you can miss your flight.
Yeah, and sometimes they do. But actually, Delta held the plane up for about 10 passengers. So we actually sat on the runway for 40 minutes. So they should have just kept it the way it was.
Right.
Because once you tell these people, including the flight attendants, were late.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother story. The moral of the story is you just don't know, and you always want to be in a know. So always, monitor everything.
I actually arrive pretty much on time anyway, even if I think the flight's going to be delayed for that very reason. I don't want to be, because I've had it moved on me.
For sure. And speaking of TripIt, by the way, they were in the news this week because they just figured out a way how they can now monitor your points because, the four major airlines.
They tried to block it.
They blocked them. So now you can forward your statements that you get emailed to points@TripIt.com, and it will manage your points to let you know, when they're expiring and how many you have and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I used to have to give them my United login, and they would go get that information from United. And then United said no, they blocked it.
Yep. So did Delta.
Now, yeah.
I'm pretty sure American. But, so enough with TripIt. I got a great product for you that I learned about when I was speaking at the LA Times Travel Show. Go to juicy.com, no I. Don't go to juicy.com, juicyrentals.com. Yeah,
be very careful. Actually, Juicy, I think, is a clothing line, and I'm hoping that they own Juicy. Juicy Rentals.
Yes.
It's a New Zealand car rental and computer van hire.
In Australia. You know what? That's not the right URL.
I have another one.
There's a U.S. one. They just came into America. So they're big in New Zealand and Australia. So now they're on the West Coast. They're in San Francisco, Las Vegas, and L.A.
It's J-U-C-Y?
Yep.
Okay. That's the.
I just had it.
You said no I, but I didn't believe you because I thought that sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's Juicy Rentals.
Juicy, J-U-C-Y, rentals.com. Since 2001, Juicy has been one of the fastest growing camper van rental companies. See, they need to adjust that because I don't think people in the U.S. know what a camper van is.
They don't, but they're going to. This company, they have these Dodge vans and another minivan that they totally transformed into four beds, two up top, two down below.
So they rent van conversions.
Exactly. And in the back, there's a full-on kitchen.
But you're just, instead of driving that big honking thing with the 3 miles per gallon, you're driving a van.
But the best part is it costs $33 to $35 a day.
Oh.
I just priced it out from San Francisco to Las Vegas for a drop off, and it was $33 a day. And that's during low season, high season, $55 a day.
I don't think they're ready for Johnny Jett because I think we just brought the site to its knees.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was fast.
Everybody went to Jucy Rentals, JUCYRentals.com. This is so they are now doing it in the U.S.
Yeah, just on the West Coast. So San Francisco, Las Vegas, and L.A., you can drop it off. You're allowed to do 100 miles a day. If you want to do more, you pay $12. But it's this is a great, great value, especially for families. You don't need to worry about a hotel.
It says it has all the amenities of a small RV, a fridge, a gas cooker, a sink, a DVD player, two beds to sleep up to four people. And you know, I'm reluctant to rent a big RV because I'm afraid of driving that thing.
Yeah, me too. I've always wanted to drive across country in Winnebago, but I don't want to be the driver.
Wow. All right. So you're going to go Jucy, huh?
I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I would.
How does Natalie?
Kids, I'll do it.
Yeah, when you have kids, this will be great fun. Natalie's going to go. I'm driving around. I'm not going to do that. No.
She
should drive to see her in Toronto in your Jucy.
Yeah.
So they're originally in New Zealand and Australia, and then now they've just gone into the U.S. JUCY. Very
That's
cool.
Right.
Johnny Jett is at johnnyjett.com. He is the travel journalist of the year. You don't get any bigger than that.
Oh, my God.
There's no travel journalist of the decade. This is it. You are Johnny Jett. You are the man. You can find him at his website, johnnyjett.com. He's so humble, too, and I like that about you, Johnny. You can also see him on Twitter, at Johnny Jett. Do follow him there and check out his Twitter lists. He's put together a bunch of lists of airlines, of things, of people you should be following on Twitter if you like to travel.
And sign up to my newsletter, especially the deals one, because we have really good deals. There was a deal this week from L.A. to Shanghai for $545 round trip on American.
Oh, that's a deal. I'm thinking China. I want to go back to China. I loved China so much.
Asia is on fire this year with these really good deals.
Yeah. Careful
Seriously,
how you say that.
Especially from the West Coast. And if you're on the East Coast, fly to the West Coast and then just jump on one of these airfares.
Right. Good deal. So, the only reason Americans would know what a camper van is from the group Camper Van Beethoven. They might know it from that, but I don't know if that is it meaningful?
I don't know that.
Camper van. You don't know Camper Van Beethoven?
Nope.
I know Heather does. This is interesting. They have cruise buses apparently.
So will you do it is my question.
Yeah, I would do this. I would do this. But you can't go with me.
I don't
want to
go.
JohnnyJett.com. Thank you, Johnny. We'll talk again next week. Leo LaPorte, the tech guy. More of your calls right after this. I'm not getting in a van with you, Johnny. Now there's a Jucy cruise with Pita Pit on board.
I haven't even seen that.
I don't know what Pita Pit is. They have like a bus.
So is there a van at the, I was going to tell you, I saw the van at the LA Times Travel Show. That's how I heard about it. I mean, I just took a tour of it and I actually did the news.
I think this is good.
They had me feature it.
They have cruise buses.
That's good. I but can't hear the music, by the way, so I don't know when time's up.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, we're in a...
That's new.
We'll go back to normal next week. We had a major technical failure this morning, and so I've moved I'm sitting out somewhere else. And
all right.
Not all of the capabilities are here yet.
I see.
Thank you, Johnny.
All right, and who are you rooting for tomorrow?
Well, of course, the Broncos, for several reasons, but mostly because I don't like the Seahawks. They beat our Niners.
Yep.
Who are you rooting for?
Well, I'm a Giant fan, but I really like Peyton Manning, and I really like the head coach.
I love Peyton Manning, and I think that he is one of the greats, and that's the main reason I'm rooting for him.
I'm going to be at a Seattle party, so
chill. Yeah, you know the Niners in Seattle now is the new big rivalry on the West Coast, so I can't root for the Seahawks.
I like their quarterback.
You know what? They're a great team, and Marshawn Lynch is an amazing running back. They are an amazing running team, and blah blah blah. But I will be rooting for the Broncos.
And Sherman,
it's one of those games I don't care that much about.
Do you like Sherman?
I don't dislike Sherman. He's got high spirits. He's a high spirited fellow. I don't dislike him. I don't think you should ever on the field go like this to the quarterback. You choked after you beat them.
I agree.
If you win, be graceful.
But you have no idea we don't know what
they could have been trash talking Sherman all day. Exactly right. So right. I just that's why I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other. I think it's not great for the I would guess it's not great for the Seahawks for all this attention on Sherman. And I, you know, it's funny at Media Day, Marshawn Lynch basically hid out. He didn't want anybody to talk to him. Well, and yeah, he wouldn't go on. He didn't have a podium. He wouldn't go talk. And you know, the other guys are very quiet. It's a quiet team. So I guess it's probably good they have one loudmouth.
Well, I was in New York earlier this weekend.
Oh, it's going to be cold.
Actually, not going to be that bad. I just looked at the forecast. Yes, 45 is the high.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's going to get cold by the end of the game.
It was cold when I was there.
Come over. Right, we're having pizza. You come over to the house. We're going to have pizza. You can get out of those Seahawks fans. You'll see nothing but Broncos fans at my place.
Good man.
All right. Take care, Johnny.
Take care.
See ya. Bye. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. Glenn's on the line from Alexandria, also Louisiana. Hi, Glenn.
Hello, Leo.
Thanks for hanging on.
Well, thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm calling because I'm trying to figure out, my mother has a XP machine, and she's concerned that in a couple of months they're going to pull out the support from that.
Yes.
So she asked me if I can help her move or transfer some files, folders that she has with pictures and music and other things that are important to her in that machine and over to a USB thumb drive. My question is, I know there's probably more than one way to do that, but the one that I am most familiar with in XP is using a Windows Explorer.
Yeah.
Do you advise against that or?
No, I do not. I think that's in fact the best way to do it. There are, you know, there's the files and settings transfer wizard and all of these kind of more elaborate ways to do it. And I frankly think the best thing to do, when you stick the USB key in there, it'll look like a hard drive, is to use Explorer, as you said, to drag the files over that she needs and just make it that simple. If you really want to be complete, you might then run the file and transfer settings wizard and let it will back up. It will want either a DVD or a CD or a USB key and back up a separate bunch of files. It's not a bad idea to have it. She's not getting rid of the XP machine, right? She's not going to use it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, so if something didn't get backed up, it's still there. The key on the XP machine is it's still even usable. I just would make sure it's not connected to the internet after April 8th.
Yeah, that's what I heard on your earlier comment. That's
all. Just don't make sure it's not connected to the internet.
Now, I have heard when you're transferring files that are fairly large using Windows Explorer, that you may encounter problems.
Yeah, you can't do anything bigger than 2 gigs, but I don't think there's anything. She probably won't have anything that big. I know she won't.
So, for instance, if I will not be able to transfer like an entire folder just by
oh no, you can do it.
Adding a copy that
you can do it. There is it's kind of funny. There is, in fact, this is something that only recently was fixed. In my opinion, it was only fixed in Windows 8. A problem with Microsoft copying. So if you use Explorer, sometimes you can have problems with it. Microsoft has a separate command line that will do it, or you can get a better copy program to do it. Windows is notorious for slow, unreliable copying.
Mm.
So there are programs like TerraCopy. A lot of people like TerraCopy. It's free. That will do a better job of copying. And then what is the command? Padre SJ's in the chat room. He'll know. Do you know, Alex, the command line for copying? Instead of using Explorer, you can actually do it from the command line.
I want to say RoboCopy.
Rich, is it RoboCopy?
I think.
Yeah. It's a better copy. It's ironic that Microsoft's so little trusted. It is RoboCopy. So little trusted its copy routine in Explorer that they gave you a command line. But I don't know if it is an XP or not. I would get something like TerraCopy, frankly. Robo stands for not robot but robust. In this case, yeah, it's in Windows XP. You got to get command line first. Are you comfortable with getting a command line, Glenn?
No, not too much.
Yeah, get Terra copy. It's a good copy. And Rich Copy is a GUI for RoboCopy. So the problem with the command line is you have to know what to type. And you have to know how to get a command line. But Rich Copy is the third-party interface, also free from Microsoft. It's part of their Hoffman Utilities, I guess.
So I shouldn't worry if I transfer smaller portions of her folders.
No.
There are less than two.
What happens is it's slower than it should be because the copy routines are junk in Windows XP, Windows Vista, and even in Windows 7. They weren't really improved and fixed until Windows 8, in my opinion. But, you know, you got time. I would either use TerraCopy, or if you're going to copy a lot of files, or try Rich Copy. You can download it for free from Microsoft. It looks just like Internet Explorer. It's written by a guy named Ken Tamaro of Microsoft. And all it is a nice user interface to robocopy. Isn't it say something, though, about Microsoft that they actually offer these, like, better copy utilities? Instead of just fixing it, they said, well, just use this instead. Rich Copy. If you Google it, I think you'll find it, Glenn. It works. It works great. It's very easy. And then you can it looks like, you know, it kind of looks a little bit like a geeky version of Explorer. You don't have to have these, but what it does is it verifies that the copy went through. So what you don't want to do is, and this happens occasionally, you copy a bunch of files, and then you don't want to have to test them. If they're not verified, you may have some bad copies because of the bad code, believe it or not, built into Windows. Have you used, you've used RoboCopy or Rich Copy, Alex? Alex Gumpel, one of our studio engineers, is a Windows fan.
I don't, but Russell does.
Our IT guy does. That should tell you something right there. Russell doesn't trust copy. It's, you know, copy's fine for most things, but when you're doing something like this, it's kind of mission critical. Yeah, do it right. Mike is in Pittsburgh, PA. Hey, Mike, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Mr. Laporte. How are you today, sir?
I am well, sir. How are you?
Not too bad, sir. I have a question. I had a primary hard disk fail in my my laptop, and that's a separate issue. But to fill in the gap this weekend, I have my wife's Nook and my wife's Kindle. Okay, and I watched you guys doing your workaround today, and it kind of gave me an idea to ask you, what is the workaround to be able to watch your show on a Kindle, but I can watch it on a Nook?
Never happen. Do you have a Kindle 8, a Fire?
No, it's a Kindle Fire, yes.
It is, sir. A Fire, all right.
Yeah.
I always think, when I think Nook and Kindle, I always think of the e-paper versions of those, which, of course, you, even though it has internet access in a browser, you can't watch video on because it's too slow. But if you have the tablet versions of the Nook or the Kindle, yeah, you should be able to watch them. I don't know. Is there? Can you use the Silk browser on the Kindle just to go to twit.tv? Does it not work?
Yeah, I have, like right now I'm watching you on twit.tv on the Nook. But for some reason on the Kindle, what's that program? Flash. I'm getting that Flash. Whatever that is.
You know, I have to go get my Kindle and see. I'm pretty sure you can.
Okay.
Use the Kindle browser. Use the Silk browser, S-I-L-K. That's the name of the browser that comes with the Kindle Fire.
Okay.
There are third-party apps, which should be in the Amazon store. For instance, the F-Con app should be able to work with that. The reason you need Flash, we provide streaming versions of this show and a lot of the other shows I do all week long. Through a company called Ustream, through a company called Justin TV, through BitGravity. All of those are Flash player utilities. We do, though, pay for a non-Flash stream from a company called Flowsoft. And if the browser's properly set up, it should be able to catch that stream, and then you wouldn't need Flash. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thanks for watching. Appreciate it. Yeah, I should mention our show today brought to you by ShareFile. .com, the easiest way to, well, share files. You know, nowadays in business, it's rarely a business email that doesn't have some attachment, a contract, a PowerPoint presentation, documents, drawings. I just got a bunch of PDF drawings from my contractor on a desk that I want him to build for me, the guy who did our whole studio in there. And he attached it as a PDF, and I thought, oh, Jim. I got to tell them about ShareFile for a couple of reasons. I mean, I don't care if other people see that email. That's not private. But if you're a physician and you're sending patient records, it needs to be HIPAA compliant. Privacy has to be guaranteed. If you're a lawyer, a lot of industries where you just can't attach files to an email. Also, PDFs potentially risky, right? you know, there have been problems with a flash reader or a Acrobat reader where a poorly crafted or an intentionally badly crafted PDF could install viruses. I always tell you, don't send attachments, but I probably don't tell you enough what you should do, which is use ShareFile instead. So the way it works is I have ShareFile on my computer. It has a ShareFile folder, which automatically syncs with my ShareFile store up in the cloud. When I want to send somebody a file, I save, for instance, we do this with the radio stations. I save the audio out to that ShareFile folder. Let me actually log into my ShareFile. I'll show you what it looks like. So I share the audio out. It automatically, save the audio out. It automatically syncs it to my cloud. And then I can go up into the ShareFile cloud, and here's all my files, and I can share this. Now, I'll show you. There's a couple of ways to do this. So let's say I just did this. Today. We did a voice track for HLO, I think it was. Yeah, there it is. So here's the wave that I want to send, WHLO. Now, there are a couple of ways I can do that. I press the send button. Now, if you have Outlook, by the way, an Outlook plugin makes this look just like email. I can send it with an email through the web interface. By the way, notice we still have the Twit logo. It's all branded. Or I can do a link. I can say require recipients to enter name and email before downloading so I can track them. How long the download's good for, a day, a year, it never expires. How many downloads, so I could say this user can download it once, but only for the first day I send it to them. I press send file, and then I'm going to get a unique link. This link, I'll copy this to the clipboard. I could put in an email. It'll do this automatically without looking. Let me show you what they're going to get. So they're going to get the link. They're going to click it, and it's going to say, oh, yeah, this is the Twit page where your download is, but Leo wanted you to enter in this information. So I'm going to do that, Leo. So this, and this is how I can track it, who got it. Laporte, and I'm Twit. This is all ShareFile. And I can say, remember this. Notice I don't have to log into ShareFile. I never have to do this. I get a straightforward download. Every radio station I work with can handle this, whether it's sophisticated or not. It's very straightforward. You don't run up against the bounce back from your files being too big. It's more secure. You get notifications when the file's been downloaded and opened and by whom. ShareFile's great. Look, I just want you to try this free for 30 days. There are consumer solutions that would do many of the same things, but they're not HIPAA compliant. They don't have the layers of security that ShareFile does. They don't work as easily. And in many cases, your person you're corresponding with has to actually log in, has to create an account. That's no good. Not with ShareFile. They just get this very simple page. It's branded with your logo and all that, and then they just download it. Start it today, ShareFile.com. Click the mic. Now, this is a little tricky. If you go to ShareFile.com, I'll show you this. Because there's three places on the ShareFile page you can say, start your free trial. There's that big green button. Nope, don't click that. There's the try it free button. No, don't click that. Go right up here, the little tiny print. Podcast listeners, click here. Click that. And make sure you enter in the offer code TECHGUY, all one word, TECHGUY, in the offer codes box. That way we get credit for it. Hey, thank you for using ShareFile. Give it a try. 30 days. I'm telling you, it is the best way. It's the only way now that I communicate with all the radio stations in the network. ShareFile.com. Use our offer code TECHGUY. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. It's time to talk about computers and the internet, home theater, smartphones, digital photography, anything with a chip in it. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number if you want to call and ask a question, make a comment, make a suggestion. We started to see a number of quarterly results this week from Facebook, from Microsoft, from Apple. Great, great quarter for Apple. It's the fourth quarter of the calendar year. In Apple's case, it's the first quarter of their fiscal year, but it's the holiday buying season, October, November, December. And Apple made like third profit, $13 billion profit in 3 months. And you compare that to Microsoft, which historically, you know, Microsoft is the big guy, the big gorilla. Microsoft made half as much profit. Apple made, but it just shows you if you sell hardware and you have a good markup on the hardware, you can make some money. Facebook also had a very good quarter and turned a corner that I think is going to be very important for Facebook in the long run. They actually made more money on mobile use of Facebook than they did on desktop computer use. And that's really important because, you know, Facebook's success, of course, over the last 10 years, by the way, happy birthday, Mark Zuckerberg. He's 30. Facebook turned 10 this week. Can you believe Facebook's 10 years old? But it's, you know, if you look at it, it looks kind of like it is a little bit, you know, from an earlier time in technology.
It's for a 10-year-old.
Or maybe it's for a 10-year-old, says Heather Hammond, the phone ranger. But one thing that they showed is that they figured out a way to make money on smartphones, on mobile, on tablets and smartphones. And since that's where most computing is moving, and especially in the younger audience, which Facebook and everybody desperately wants, you better make sure you have a presence there. And it was a challenge for Facebook. Now they've announced a new phone. Now you use an iPhone, Heather, right? So you could use this. They've announced a new app called Paper. Comes out February 2nd. It'll come out tomorrow.
Oh my God!
I want you to download it and use it and use it all week and talk to me about it next week. Okay?
What does it do?
It's not out yet. Don't look at your phone.
Okay.
Now. There's nothing.
Am I
going to
be
do.
Happy?
It's the new Facebook, and the idea is it's kind of the news feed. However, it allows you to post as well, and I think it's good. I think people are going to stop using the Facebook app, at least on iOS, and start using Paper. It's gorgeous.
Oh, I can't wait.
It allows you to add, in addition to your friends and family in the news feed, you can add actual news sources.
Oh, nice.
Magazines, newspapers, that kind of thing. And when you post with Paper, it kind of encourages you to make a beautiful post. So the idea is that Facebook's going to look a whole heck of a lot better. And it's mobile. And this is very important from the point of view of Facebook, is that you start using Facebook more mobile. Because, you know, and then, of course, they've got to give you a way to see ads in a mobile way that you can actually do something about it.
Okay.
That's the trick.
And
now,
it knows what news stories I want to see.
When you look at it, if you are reading something you don't like, you can get rid of it. You can swipe it off the page and say, I don't want to read any more of that. It will show your friends, but it kind of favors attractive posts with pictures and video and music. It favors multimedia. You still have the like button. It's there. You know, it's interesting because it's kind of like, I don't know if you ever used Flipboard. It's kind of like Flipboard. It turns your Facebook feed into a magazine.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is going to be very interesting. They said, is it February 3rd? All right. It's either tomorrow or Monday. No Android version yet. Makes me sad. That's why I'm charging you with being our on the ground reporter using this. Use it for a week and let me know if you can use this, and maybe if it brings you back to Facebook, because I do believe that Facebook needed to do something to bring them into the 21st century.
I heard you say it first, but everybody's repeating it. Facebook's over.
Well, I changed my mind.
Uh-oh.
So you're right. Dodgy. Last week I said Facebook was over, and then their quarterly report came out, and they said, we made more money on mobile than we made on desktop, and that blew me away. I didn't expect that to happen for at least another year, if ever.
Huh.
That's important to Facebook's long-term financial security. And then they showed this Paper app, and it's gorgeous. You know, the way they did it, it's kind of in the tech industry, it's kind of the way you're supposed to do it. It's what Steve Jobs did with the Macintosh. They went out, available February 3rd, it says. They went out, and they created a Skunkworks. Steve Jobs took a building off in the corner of the Apple campus. They raised a pirate flag. They said, nobody can come in. We're working. Genius at work. And Facebook apparently did the same thing. They got some very good product designers, and they gave them the power to do something completely new, completely different. And by the way, there's no ads in it yet. Now, that can't possibly stay that way, but right now it's ad-free. That's to get you to start using it.
Okay.
So I guess all of you have that assignment. If you're using an iPhone, I'll do it. You know, I could do it on an iPad. It's an iPhone app, but you can do it on an iPad. I'll try it on an iPad.
Let's do it. Do it with me, everybody.
It's very modern. It took them 9 months to build. They used one of the best iOS designers ever as a consultant, Lauren Brichter, the guy who did Letterpress and Tweety. And it's fluid. It's fast. People who've played with it have been very impressed with it. I think... Yeah, I called Facebook dead. That might have been a little premature. I hate to admit it.
That was the peak. It's all downhill.
That was as
from
bad as it got, I guess.
Or as good.
Anyway,
depending on how you look.
You
at
know,
it.
Facebook did this before with Facebook Home. Remember, they tried to get you to skin your whole phone as a Facebook phone, and nobody—that was a flop. Remember that a year ago? Flopola.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's huge flop.
Was it a year ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we shall see. But I do think that they are on the right track, and I have to say I'm a little more bullish about the company than I was. Back to the phones at 8888-ASK-LEO. To Glendora we go. How are things in Glendora? David is there. Hi, David.
Well, now that the fires are out, it's much better. We were pretty smoky there for a little while.
Horrible. Anyway. Yeah.
Hey, when are they going to come out with the iPhone wood?
Never.
the wood version of the
Steve
iPhone.
Jobs would spin his... See, I like this. I'm the only guy who does, apparently, but Motorola offers wood backs for their Moto X phone, and I think they're lovely.
I'd love it. Call me crazy.
Yeah, we're guys, okay? This is, I'm wearing a checked, flannel checked shirt. I like hunting lodges. I like the smell of wood smoke in the hunting lodge. Yeah. I don't mind eating with a knife.
I'm buying a buckhorn lamp for my desk.
Exactly. it's a male thing.
Hey, my question for you is this, Leo. I make my living on an ISDN line, much like you. And business has been good for the last couple years.
You're a voiceover artist?
I am indeed. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I do for a living. For 29 years now, I've been making a living at it, believe it or not.
That's wonderful. But, that's wonderful. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. But the last couple years have been very good. So I built two new houses in different parts of the country.
Well, congratulations even more. That's great.
Thank you. And in Southern California, when you set up an ISDN line, you know, you're not the only one in town that's doing it. There are 20 other guys in town. But in York Beach, Maine, I'm the only person. So when I go to the telephone company and say, hey, I want to set up an ISDN line, they look at me like I've got two heads. And a few months ago, you mentioned some sort of a buzzword, a line that I should ask for.
Not on ISDN. You probably were thinking of when I mentioned dry loop.
But
that's for DSL. So this is what I found, and you're absolutely right, because you live in a company town. Los Angeles is a company town. The business is entertainment, and there are probably a lot of voiceover artists who have ISDN lines. A lot of musicians, too, use ISDN. ISDN is a digital telephone system, works over the regular copper wire in your house.
Right.
And allows you, it's what we use, frankly, to talk to the radio stations. A lot of radio folks use ISDN as well. It was my first high-speed internet. But that's back that's back when a 56K modem was blazingly fast. ISDN is only twice as fast as that. It's 128 kilobits a second. That's enough to do high-quality voice, but that's about it.
Yeah, people say, hey, why don't you just use high-speed internet? Well, I'd love
it. It won't work.
But the state of the art is ISDN.
No, and it won't work. I'll talk about that in a bit, too. Hang on, okay, David? We got to take a little break. As you know, we got to do some business. Maybe one of your ads will be next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. In the name of love, Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. We were talking to David in Glendora, California. He uses an ISDN line, which is a kind of a specialty. And I'll tell you the reason it's hard to get one outside of L.A. The phone company doesn't want to do it. Basically.
Are they legally bound to do it, though?
No.
Oh.
So in order to do ISDN, which stands for Integrated Services Digital Network, and the idea was, the original reason it was invented was a phone company wanted to get in the television business. It was called Video Dial Tone when they first came out with it almost 20 years ago. And they have to have a separate switch. So normally on your telephone, you're hooked up to a switch in the central office. That switch then routes your calls and all of that. The ISDN switch is a different kind of switch. They have to get an ISDN box, and it can handle, I don't know how many lines, let's say a dozen or two dozen or whatever. But if there's no call, if there's no business for ISDN in Aspen, they may not have a box, or they might have one. They may not even know they have one. You've got to get escalated. When I ordered it in San Francisco, there was one guy had it was like an office in the basement.
Yeah.
And he was the guy. He was the ISDN guy. And if you could get to him, he'd go, I could set you up.
That's the way it is here in Southern California. There's one guy at Verizon who knows what you're talking about. Yeah.
So where is the second house?
The second house is in York Beach, Maine, and the third house is in Massachusetts.
How nice. Massachusetts. So one possibility is to call a radio station in town or get a hold of the... Call the station and say, can I speak to your engineer, your first?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because the engineer in the radio station in town will know. Because radio stations still use them, yeah. And so you got to get help. I always look for the ISDN expert, you know, and radio stations, if anybody will know it. I don't order ISDN lines myself. I try to get somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's exactly what I'll do. But there's no buzzword that I can use with the phone company, is there, or is there?
No, ISDN is the buzzword.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
If you're getting, you know, the call center that's set up to, you know, get phone service, they're not going to know. You got to get escalated.
Yeah.
I think the radio stations have some person they call inside. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Good. So what kind of voiceover do you do?
I do a bunch of stuff for, well, for instance, right now, Disney Cruise Lines has a big campaign, and I'm the captain. Captain's Log, Day of Discovery. That stuff.
I want to do the voice on the Disney Cruise where they go, look around you. There are no windows and no doors.
And now there are three guys. There are three guys that do the voice at Disneyland. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And I'm the second of those three guys.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm probably not allowed to say that. It's just, I know they're very secretive about that stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Wasn't it? It was really the great Paul Frees, I think, who did the original Haunted House voice. And he was also the voice of the Pillsbury Doughboy. That guy had range.
He was huge. And then the big guy in the Haunted Mansion was Thurl Ravenscroft.
Oh, yes. You're the mean one, Mr.
Exactly.
Grinch.
But did you know that he was also Tony the Tiger?
Yeah, they're great. Yep.
Yeah. I met him one day when he was 70-some-odd years old, and I was starstruck. Yeah. Starstruck.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, enough. We're losing the audience. They go, what are these old guys talking about? Yeah, I don't know. Hey, thanks. Good to talk to you. Nice to meet you, David. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
All right. He's great. Bill in Santa Clarita, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Bill.
Morning.
Morning.
I've got some problems with my laptop, and I'm hoping you'll be able to help me with.
I shall do my best, my level best.
Okay. I have a Time Warner cable, and I use a Motorola cable modem for wireless to go to my Dell laptop.
Yes.
Now, the modem works fine for two desktops I have, and no problem at all, but my laptop won't receive. Where one receives, say, 19 meps per second, something like that.
You have a router, right? Or is everything plugging into the modem?
It's a modem router. It's two separate things.
It's one of them modem router things, dealer boppers.
Yeah, one belongs to Time Warner, one belongs to me.
Ah, good. So you plug in the desktop to your router. The same router everything else is plugged into.
Yes.
But
they're all operating wireless.
It's all Wi-Fi. Okay. And everything's working except for this one computer.
That's right.
And, I would guess that the settings on the computer are wrong, right? Because everything else is working. Unless for some reason that, but you said it's Wi-Fi. I was saying maybe there's a bad port on the router, but if it's all Wi-Fi.
Also at my daughter's house, so it was on Cox Network, it worked fine.
Yeah. Interesting. What could be going on? So let me make sure I understand this. All three of the devices are on Wi-Fi. Two of them work fine. The one does not. You have turned on. Now if it's an older device, is the router a fairly new router, the Wi-Fi router?
In the last year.
Okay. And have you turned on encryption on the router or any protection of any kind?
I believe something's turned on. I know that's not a very good description.
I'm glad something's turned on. So we want to make sure, it's possible that this router is in some way set up that it is not compatible with a computer. Is the computer an older computer?
It's 2 years.
It should be.
It's a Windows 7.
Yeah, all right. Well, it should handle WPA. I would hope the encryption on the router is WPA. Do you enter a password when you log into this router the first time?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Actually, I've changed it to my own password. To enter in one time.
That's fine. Yep, once on each thing. Make sure, and you entered the password correctly, because if you didn't, it would say you got the wrong password.
I said it is working. It's just so slow, it's unbelievable.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought it wasn't working at all. So it's working fine.
It is working.
Yeah, but it's just slow.
Like one of my others are running about 19 meps download. Where the laptop is running 0.7.
Well, that's not right. Have you tried speed test on that third laptop? Speedtest.net.
That's where I found out I had a problem.
That's where you saw you had a problem. All right.
Yeah, I knew it was before, but I didn't know. I couldn't measure it until I got the speed test.
So it's working, but just very slow. Is it considerably farther from the router than the others?
Well, I solved that and put it 4 foot away.
And it didn't speed it up.
Didn't speed it up.
Yeah, I think you may have there may be something wrong with the adapter in the laptop. I don't actually have a fix for you because it's not anything obvious. It's not something I could say, well, we see this all the time and you have to push the Framits button. A couple of things I would try just to see if the laptop has something wrong with it. Connect it directly via an Ethernet cable. If you have an Ethernet cable lying around, connect the laptop directly to the router via hardwire and see if it's still slow. If it is, then there probably is something odd going on with that computer. If on the other hand, it's fast wired, then there's a Wi-Fi issue. I'm not really sure what could be wrong here, but I have to say the culprit sounds like a configuration issue, especially since it works all right at your daughter's house. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I don't know what that could be.
What's your question or comment for Leo?
Chat room, do you have any thoughts? It could be there's a DNS issue in how his laptop is set up.
Did he say he took the laptop to
his daughter's and it worked fine? That's the puzzlement. So it's nothing really wrong with a laptop. You think it's QoS? No.
So that you could forward it to a friend? Or?
It's just slow. It works. It works fine, but it's just slow. Which seems odd. Yeah, probably the thing to do is to start over with a laptop. Reconfigure it.
Okay.
Flushing DNS, possibly. But I presume if he's rebooting it, CableBox may have built-in wireless. It did copy over my screen layout because what I do is I save it. I save it to Nova Launcher. I save that file, and I just re-import that file, and I get my new Wi-Fi drivers. Yeah, update drivers. That's always a... always a good bet.
Okay, hang on a second.
He says within 4 feet. Ah, that's a good one. I'll mention that one, like I says. Try a different user. So that's always a good idea with Windows is to create a new user and start from scratch with that new user and see if it works. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. I'm not going to take it anymore. I don't. What is it that they're not going to take it anymore?
Yeah, they have nothing to complain.
What is it? What are they complaining about? After all,
did they have a nag of a girlfriend or what was this?
Dee Snider. It's Twisted. It was Twisted Sister. Yeah. Dee Snider and Twisted Sister. It's got to be at least 20 years old.
Tipper Gore. Okay.
It was good Tipper answer. Gore because Tipper wanted to put, explicit label language notices on those albums. And Dee says, we're not going to take it. So there.
Fight the power.
One thing about our last caller, I don't really know of a fix. I'm not even sure what's wrong. He had a situation with his Wi-Fi. Two out of the three computers worked fine and were fast. Almost 20 megabits per second. One of the computers, though, just really slow. Windows 7 machine, relatively recent. He put it right next to the Wi-Fi router, still like a megabit. You know, and one does suspect that there's something with the configuration of that computer. But here's one thing to try, and this is a good troubleshooting technique. I always have on my computers a dummy account created, but if you don't have one now, you can create one. Give it administrator privileges. I call mine Ghost, so I know this is not to be used. This is not a regular account, but it's nice to have an extra account, Windows or Mac, that you can log into. In this case, create a new, fresh account. enter it, log into it, and set up the Wi-Fi and all that afresh and see if it works on that account. Do make sure you have the latest drivers. You'll have to, it's a little hard to find the Wi-Fi drivers. It's probably a motherboard chip, so you'll need to get the motherboard drivers from the manufacturer of your computer, that kind of thing. Those are just troubleshooting, generalized troubleshooting techniques that work in many cases, especially on Windows. Update the drivers, log in as a new user, see if it still problem persists. Let's move to BJ in San Diego, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, BJ.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking the call.
I am well. You're the one who works at Sun City?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Okay.
The situation is I have an elderly mother who loves her email, but she has a desktop, you know, with all the windows and
That's just a nightmare, I'm sure, for her.
She gets lost, you know. I go over there and there's 50 windows open,
I for my ex-wife, I once went over and I closed all the applications she had running. She said, "What's that?" I said, "That's your desktop." She said, "I've never seen that before." I said, "It's always there. You've got so many things running, you never see it." That's so right. It's similar, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm wondering if there is something simpler so that she only can use, just for using email. Is it?
This used to be a Brisk category. They sold standalone email machines. I don't think they were a very good choice. Microsoft even had something called Web TV. They later changed to MSN TV. They just recently shut that down. A lot of people used that because they could put it on their television, sit back on the couch. I think an iPad or any tablet, but an iPad especially, is an excellent choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the only negative on tablets is you have to type on the screen, which means you're typing on glass, but I'm thinking she probably doesn't write long missives, or does she?
No.
She wants to read it. She wants to see pictures of the grandkids, that kind of thing.
Right.
I would take her to an Apple store. There's a nice one in San Diego, and just show her the iPad. Say, "Look, it's secure. It's easy to use. You're not going to get all confused. And I think you can set the, if her eyes have trouble with a smaller 10-inch screen, you could set the text bigger so it's very legible. You could put audiobooks and Kindle books on there. There's other stuff she may like on there. I gave one to my mom, my 81-year-old mom, and that's all she uses. She loves it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than enough for browsing and email.
Yeah. Okay. She wants all email only. There's no browsing. She gets confused. All that stuff.
Yeah, I think an iPad's a pretty good choice for her.
Okay.
And I know there's more there than she'll need, but that's all right. She just leaves the email open. That's all she ever uses.
That's right.
Yep. Okay. That's a good choice. Another good choice, if she wants a physical keyboard, might be something called a Chromebook. This Google sells or created the Chrome OS also to make it very simple. It's just a browser. So as long as she can get her email in a browser, which she probably can.
Yeah.
She just leaves it there. She's got a keyboard. It looks like a laptop without any of the complexity and, more importantly, without any of the security issues. In fact, there's a nice feature in these Chromebooks called Power Wash. If something goes wrong or gets screwed up or whatever, she just goes into the settings, does a power wash, it reboots, the machine goes back to the way it was brand new. You know, 30 seconds later, she logs in, and then her email's there again, and she's back to normal. So Chromebooks are, I think, a very good choice as well. But she may prefer an iPad because it's so light and portable and has 10 hours of battery life.
Okay.
That's what I got my mom. She loves it. And she has a laptop, she has a desktop, but she uses the iPad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you for your advice.
My pleasure. Yeah, I'm glad. Glad to help our older folks who just can't and don't need to have all the complexity of a computer. This is why the world is moving in this direction. Joe in Carlsbad, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, hi, Leo.
Hey, Joe.
Appreciate you taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm a dirty old man, and I'm all screwed up here. I've got an old Windows system using a Vista.
Yeah.
And my first question before I get to the iPad is, I heard you a little while ago talking about and I kind of missed it because I was painting out on my deck. But you kind of said something about these are obsolete and going away, or they're not being updated or something.
XP is. That's not you. Vista's the next generation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So this was safe for a while.
Till April 11th, 2017.
I don't know if I'll be around then.
On April 8th, Windows XP will stop getting updates. XP, the previous version, will stop getting updates, stop getting fixes. They will update the antivirus signatures, but that's it. And so we all are predicting kind of an Armageddon, an XP-geddon on April 8th when all the hackers say, hey, no more patches.
Yeah.
Release the hounds.
Everybody goes to town, I guess.
Yeah, but Vista's different. The irony is my security guy, Steve Gibson, points this out. Most of the time, these fixes apply to all versions of Windows. They find a bug. They go, oh, yeah, it applies to XP, Vista, Windows 7. And so they're still going to find fixes that they're still going to have these fixes, but they just won't release them for XP. But you'll be getting them. That's the good news until 2017.
Okay, I've been thinking about buying an Apple, and I thought maybe this would be the excuse for me to go over and buy one.
Well, I don't want to stop you if you want to spend some money. I almost exclusively use Apple desktops and laptops.
My son uses them in his business, and he's really happy with them.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. They're not quite the attack vector surface for bad guys because there aren't as many of them, so... The virus problems are not anywhere at the same level. Security's not at the same level. Apple's done a pretty good job of locking them down. There is, you know, there's still going to be an end of life at some point for any computer. No company's going to continue to support a computer after 10 or so years.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
But, excuse me, since I'm not the greatest whiz in the world, about a year ago, one of my boys gave me an iPad. And I've come to really love it because it's so instant.
Exactly. So the previous caller, you think that's a good choice for? She only does email.
God, I'm telling you what, she'll go crazy over
it's
it.
So much
and
better.
I'm telling you, as a guy looking at 80, I'm going to be 80 years old,
wow.
And I really love this thing. It's really been a ball.
I think you're on the right track. Stick with it, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We survived. Thank you. A very big thank you to John and Alex for scrambling around that. I can't believe you were able to get this working. Nice job. Really, really nice job. Now, what do they think? What's the prognosis? It's dead. Are they shipping us out of new? We had product zero, didn't we?
Uh-oh.
Oh, that was already replaced once. All right. Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. We call him the Gizwiz because he's a gadget hound and has been for longer than anybody. He goes back before answering machines, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
How did people in your day answer the phone if they didn't have an answering machine?
Boy, hello.
But if
it's the
you
same,
call,
it's the same. It's the, no, those, you had a service.
You had a service.
My service, I think, was Bell's North, and it was like $20 a month or something to answer your phone when you weren't
there.
That's
a business that doesn't exist anymore.
No. And then the reel-to-reel answering machines came out, and then, you know, they're like the size of a suitcase.
Wow. A service. Yeah. I think I'm going to start up an answering service. We'll answer the phone for people when they're not home and take messages. What do you think? Good business, huh?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
And, you know, when, you know, Gaines knew I liked the publisher, the original publisher, William M. Gaines, knew I liked gadgets. He said, buy me an answering machine. So I bought him one. It was like $500 or $600. And then I was working on Match Game. And so every time we would record a Match Game, I would ask the celebrity, you know, Kitty Carlisle and Bennett Cerf, and call this number and leave a message.
Hi, this is Kitty Carlisle.
Yes,
I'm calling for Bill Gaines.
Yes,
is he
and
there?
About 6 months later, Bill said, "Do you know Rich Little?" And I said, "No, why?" And he said, "I have all these great voice impressions on my answering machine." I said, "Billy, they were all those people.
Those are real." So what do you have for us this week?
You know what? I have an update on a gadget that made Chad so jealous that I want to share it with the radio listeners. Chad has the Anker Pro, the Anker Astro Pro.
Love the Ankers, yeah.
So these are for... These are big guys for charging a lot of stuff. They make a 15,000 milliamp and a 20,000 milliamp version. But now they just released the Astro Pro second generation and the Astro Pro 2 second generation. So what they've done is now there are three USB charging ports versus one. They all have the smart chip in them, so it determines the fastest your device plugged in can be charged. And instead of the four LEDs that, you know, two of them meant you sort of have 50%, they now have an LED digital readout. So it tells you exactly how much power is left in the device. And also you can click it between 5 volts and 12 volts. And the price stayed the same. So if you're looking on Amazon, make sure that you look for the ones that say Gen 2 or Astro Pro second generation, or you'll end up with the original one, which has less features. And Leo, greatly inexpensive. The 50,000 milliamp version, $69.99. And the 20,000 milliamp version, $79.99.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty neat.
That is, yeah. Wow. And
Anker makes great stuff. It's an aluminum case. It's like a thin paperback book. You know, it's on the big side because it's a lot of power in there. But this is really great.
This is one of those categories where there are a lot of different companies making them. I mean, even Energizer, the battery company, makes these portable battery packs. But yes. Sometimes we call that a commoditized business where, you know, it's like pork bellies. You can't tell one from the other. But when you get little things like three USB ports, the smart charging, things like that, those things can be really useful. So I'm a big fan of Anker. It's IANKER.com if you want to see their whole product line. And which one is this? This is called the...
This is the Anker Astro Pro is the 15,000 second generation you want. And Astro Pro 2 is the 20,000 milliamp version. Again, look for second generation. And I have links to the actual pages on my website.
Awesome. Oh, that website is gizwiz, gizwiz.biz. And he's got, you know, notes for all the gadgets he mentions on our show, on his Gizwiz podcast. On his visits to ABC and other places, but he also has a great game. You can click the link. It says, "What the heck is it?" A chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine for guessing what a close-up picture of a gadget is, what gadget that is. It's on his webpage, gizwiz.biz. Stick around, Dick. We'll do the Giz Fizz in just a moment, okay? Thank you.
Very good. I'll be here.
Dick B. Darpolo. Wait a minute. What's your name?
Dick B. I guess it's Dick B. Bartolo. It's too big. I just had business cards made. Now I have to have them done again.
How long have I known you? Dick Healer. Oh, no. Thank you, Dickie D.
Thank you.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We have just a few minutes left. Maybe I have time for one more. Let's see if I can get to David, Lake Balboa, California. Hi, David. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, maybe you can help me out. So I have just got a phone from HTC One V to the Optimus F3 LG.
Okay.
And my old phone, which was the One V, I could, put part of the app onto the SD card. But now on the F3, I'm not able to.
So this is a feature of your Android version. What Android version are you running on that Optimus?
Is the... 4.1.2.
Okay. It should be able to do that. The other thing is LG may have prohibited that. So, it by the way, it's of kind of limited utility. The reason is that a lot of phones don't have enough memory to store everything. So you use the SD card. It's certainly a great way to store music and pictures. The issue is moving applications over there. And not all applications can do it. If the application, for instance, has a widget on the screen, you cannot move it over to the SD card. It won't work. Some system-level applications won't work that way. But if an application doesn't mind living on the SD card, you also need the cooperation of the Android operating system. You have a late enough version to do that. And, I'm sorry to say, of LG. And there are a number of phones, I guess this is one of them, that don't support it. Now, it's a new phone, right?
Yeah. I was wondering if I could root it.
Sure.
Would I be able to do that?
Yes. So if you root it, and then you'll have to use a different, put a different firmware on there. But yes, alternative third-party firmware like CyanogenMod will totally allow that. So it is. It's just LG for some reason not allowing it. By the way, speaking of LG, I just got a new LG phone which I'm going to review, and I'll have it a review for you next week. Called the LG G2 Flex. It's a curved phone and it's beautiful and the battery life is amazing. I think LG phones, they're really doing a nice job. But again, like the Optimus, you see these carrier customizations, the non-Google carrier customizations, things like saying, well, you can't move stuff to an SD card, that, you know, make them less desirable, frankly. I'm a big fan of the Google edition phones where it's pure Google. Of course, there are a lot of phones that don't have SD cards, like the phone I use, the Moto X, so it's not an option. SD cards on smartphones are a little bit of an afterthought. For a long time, Windows phones wouldn't support SD cards. I think they finally got them sort of working. You're at the mercy of the manufacturer. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great Geek Week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.